Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
It's good to be with you, Bruce.
As part of its November 2020 newsletter, the Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly domestic and global swine disease monitoring reports. First of all, how typically do infection patterns change at this time of year in North America, and what are the factors there?
Sure. The endemic diseases that we have here, such as PERS, PEB, mycoplasma, there is a seasonality component to those viruses and those different conditions, syndromes, and diseases. Especially as we go into the fall and into the winter, and the windows and curtains are pulled up and closed, and we have artificial ventilation. We have to be really paying attention to the ventilation components, ventilation rates, and that gives an opportunity for an increase in those types of respiratory diseases that we're looking at. As well, the different conditions for closing up barns may increase the humidity within the barn also, and that might help certain viruses such as PED to last longer within the barn as well. Anything that that is happening to extend the life of those viruses and those pathogens are also going to extend the opportunity for them to contact with the pigs and for things to start moving around. So there is a seasonality factor that comes into play. And I think our domestic disease reporting this month keeps that in mind and demonstrates a certain amount of seasonality that's going on out there in the countryside.
What have been the key changes domestically over the past month? What has contributed to those changes? And how do they match expectations?
Well, I think, as I said, the expectations are that we have seasonality upticks, and that's being borne out in the PERS monitoring that we do, the PED, Delta Corona, and even in the mycoplasma. They are within the expected ranges, within the expected upper and lower limits, but in those upper and lower limits that are expected to increase with the fall as we go into the cooler weather. And so we're seeing that within this. One of the things that we tried to do this summer, when they were really at a very low level, we tried to make sure that people had information about biosecurity and trying to exclude these pathogens from their pigs or from their farm with the hope of keeping things low. One of the things that I'm kind of excited about as far as a biosecurity issue for domestic diseases, we also released a study about staged loading for loading out finishing pigs or nursery pigs. We know that transportation biosecurity is an important issue as trucks go to first points of concentration and come back onto the farm, that there's an opportunity to bring things back. And so we're looking at different biosecurity techniques such as stage loading that are cheap and implementable to help to prevent bringing things back onto the farm. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do to help people with techniques that they can use to keep that seasonality as low as possible. But I think especially in the Midwest states that we have right now, a noticeable uptick in PERS spread and PERS infections, as you would expect during this time of year.
What is happening globally at this point that stands out particularly?
Sure. I think that probably the biggest news within the last month or so has been the move of African swine fever from Poland, the west side of Poland, into the east part of Germany in their border. This has also far been in feral pigs. There hasn't been any detection of ASF in domestic pigs in Germany at this point. But with the movement of feral pigs, and especially with it moving to the southern region, southern of the Brandenburg state from where it was, down to the Saxony states, which is just to the south of Brandenburg. There is a lot of domestic herds down in the Saxony area. And certainly that kind of movement increases their risk. And that's something we're keeping a very close eye on. ASF has also been, identified in South Korea in domestic pigs. It's been almost a year after the last report of its discovery. So South Korea is dealing with that. And I think one other thing of note is that we've gotten word of, although it's not an official word, but it's word from production units, word from veterinarians, that there's a pretty high strain, high pathogenic strain of PRRS in Russia that's moving right now. And Russia has implemented some new restrictions on movement, new reporting guidelines and regulations on PRRS. And I think they're trying to react to the outbreak of a high strain of PRRS. And that's something that, of course, is an important thing for us to watch so we understand better about those infections and if it presents any risk to us here in North America.
How prepared is the North American pork sector at this point for dealing with ASF, both in terms of prevention and in the event of introduction into North America for the infection itself?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bruce. First of all, for prevention, there's been a lot of progress on that. And working with Customs and Border Protection for the U.S. and working with USDA, even the FDA and other government agencies, we're all focusing on prevention. The highest priority is prevent introduction of this virus into the U.S. An example of that is the CBP, Customs and Border Protection, for example, seized about 20 tons of illegal meat products that were being brought into California. Those are the types of things that increase our risk. We think that with travel restrictions that are going on because of COVID around the world, that our risk of introduction bringing, for example, African swine fever into the country from illegally importing sandwiches and other products on airplanes has gone down. And it very well may have from that kind of conveyance. But we're reminded that this summer when the Department of Border Protection, Customs and Border Protection seized that 20 tons of meat, that there is plenty of risk still out there. And that's an extremely important thing that we have to pay attention to. As far as preparation goes, there have since 2018, when we first identified ASF in China, the movement from Russia to China, there have been great strides in preparation and preparedness for ASF introduction, in surveillance, in monitoring, in detection, in response plans. We've made a lot of progress. I don't know that we're ever going to be completely ready, completely satisfied, but there's always going to be new things that come up and new things that we have to consider. But we've made great progress. I don't want to say we're ready for it. I don't want to say we're going to prevent it 100%. I'm going to say that our first focus is prevention, 100% prevention. Our second focus is making sure that if it does slip through, that we are as prepared as possible.
Given these changing risk factors, what should be the main focus at this point at the farm level?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. One of the things that is always a concern is when we talk about a disease that's not in the country, it's not even in North America, and we talk about border security and national security or continental security, one of the concerns is that on the farm, the producers may have the attitude of, okay, that's somebody needs to take care of that and somebody needs to make sure that that's done correctly. And we're doing that. But the issue is really that if the virus does get into North America, we don't have an outbreak if it doesn't get into pigs. And it's very possible, we don't know, of course, but it's very possible that at some point, whether it's African swine fever, foot and mouth, classical swine fever, or any other variety of other different transboundary diseases that aren't endemic in the U.S. or Canada, may have slipped through those border protections. The biosecurity on the farm is the last brick in the wall of national biosecurity. And it's extremely important for producers to understand that they are part of national biosecurity because they are the ones that are responsible for the biosecurity of their individual farm. And that is the last link in the chain of making sure that we keep these kinds of things out of the country, keep these kinds of things away from our pigs in North America. So everybody's got to work together from the real border of the country all the way down to the entryway of the farm, the entryway of the barn. Everything's got to work together for biosecurity and in tandem to make sure that we're all protected and our industry can thrive.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think that it's always a good opportunity to talk about the newsletter. And if anybody wants to sign up for the SHIC newsletter, it comes out once a month. You can go on the swinehealth.org website to sign up for the newsletter. It has each month the domestic and global disease monitoring reports, as well as reports of other things that the center is doing throughout the month. So it's kind of a monthly update of activity. It's a monthly update of reporting. And going on to the swinehealth.org website is the opportunity to sign up for it. It will only come into your inbox once a month, and hopefully you'll find some value for that coming in.
Thank you very much.
It's always good to visit with you, Bruce. Thanks for the opportunity.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.